It's 7:30 in the morning on a crystal clear day in northern New York State. A dozen iron workers huddled between two monstrous red cranes and one gleaming white tower rising 22 stories tall.
Everybody knows their task. Anybody got any questions? We've got a beautiful day to fly this thing. No wind.
Today the crew is going to lift the thing you see spinning on a wind turbine. Three blades, each twice the length of semi-trucks, to the top of the tower and attach it. Dave Talley's the supervisor. He's from Petersburg, Tennessee.
I live 20 miles from Jack Daniel's distillery.
Talley's helped build some of the wonders of the modern world. The monorail at Disney World, the world's largest furnace, the largest stamping press.
Yeah, we got a saying in our business, my work is my play is my work. I work harder than I play, and I play hard. If it ain't hard, I ain't playing. Ain't fun, I ain't saying. That's all I'm saying. Crane 2.
The higher you get, the closer you get.
The cranes ease the blades into the air. Talley's crew will do this 122 times to erect Noble Environmental Power's wind farm here. Noble's owned by J.P. Morgan Partners. The company spent millions of dollars and years of permitting and negotiating to get to this point. The wind farm touched off a fiery debate in town. Local board meetings erupted in yelling. Neighbors and families became estranged.
I think there's a lot of people who have family members who completely fight over it. I mean, my sister and I don't. We just don't discuss it.
Julie Rebot can see the turbines from her porch. Her sister works for the wind power company. Rebot, however, is dead set against them.
I don't want to live here.
Really?
There's 27 supposed to be going up across the street alone.
Yeah.
I don't want, you know, somebody said, oh, it's just like a ceiling fan. Well, would you want 27 ceiling fans going off in your living room? No.
Just next door to Rebot, Richard Wadalski thinks they're great.
We do have to find an alternate source of energy. The price of oil and everything, it's just getting ridiculous. I was told it'll put up 1.5 megawatts of power, which will, you know, supply power for quite a few homes.
Wind developers pay landowners thousands of dollars a year for hosting turbines on their land. But neighbors have to live with the windmills, too, and they don't get paid. Planner John Tenbush says money pits haves against have-nots in a small town.
One guy's going to get a lot of money, and the guy right next door who's going to suffer from the noise or the blinking effect or some other adverse impacts gets nothing.
Across the country, industrial-scale wind projects are forcing small, mostly rural town councils to make big decisions. The federal government and most states offer little guidance on a blizzard of complicated issues. How far should the turbines be from a house or road? How loud can they be? Do they boost or blemish property values? Do they kill too many birds? David Duff is on the planning board in nearby St. Lawrence County. He says it's easy for town councils to get in over their heads.
Maybe they buy snowplows and maybe they put out contracts for salt. They are not in the same league in terms of negotiating with a multinational company. Who's done this before?
Until regulation catches up, the burden falls on local town councils when wind power moves in. For the Environment Report, I'm David Summerstein.